Classic Kalashuk. That is Junior Louis Jacques on the MAD unit. That is the NFL quarterback position this year. If there were a playoff committee for the NFL, it would wreak havoc on standings. They'd have to leave half the AFC out. Injured quarterbacks. You can't make a playoff if you have an injured quarterback. The latest on Trevor Lawrence, high ankle sprain, no timeline, but not thought to be season ending. The latest on the Cincinnati Bengals. Could they be back? Let's go around the horn.
They're back, baby. The Bengals are back.
Coming. That's a tease, Plash. You're not supposed to answer the question before we get to the topic. Oh, come on. Oh, the Jaguars were playing for the one seed last night when Trevor Lawrence went down. Stepped on by his lineman, that ankle bent back twice. The entire stadium groaned. And watching him limp off with no cart was just rough. The news of the day, high ankle sprain, no timeline, not thought to be season ending. Jacksonville's defense in this game could not stop Cincinnati's Jake Browning. A near perfect game for the quarterback. Cincy 34, Jacksonville 31 in overtime. We'll talk Cincy in a second. Jacksonville, the latest team to have the test. Can they survive without their starting quarterback? Marcel, around the horn to you. Can Jacksonville survive without Lawrence?
Oof. It was one of the most surreal things I think we've seen in recent memory, hearing the air come out of that home crowd when Lawrence dropped back down to his knees. This is potentially catastrophic, though. A high ankle sprain is not as bad as a broken ankle, but it's not outside of, you know, the realm of reality to believe he's going to be a little bit hobbled. The threat of Trevor Lawrence running is critical to this Jaguars offense. And who do they play over the next 2 weeks? The Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens, both pretty pressure-heavy defenses, teams that you want to play with your quarterback essentially on one leg. But if he does have to miss time, C.J. Beathard is the kind of veteran backup that you want. 37 games, I believe, played in his career. But this Jacksonville defense, the same one that made Jake Browning look like Joe Burrow in a different jersey number last night, is going to have to step up. They've been inconsistent throughout the season. But if he misses time, this is that stretch run, because Indianapolis and Houston are only a game back.
David Dennis Jr., can the Jaguars survive without Lawrence for what is right now unknown amount of time?
Yeah, they can survive, because if there's any good news in this, is that everybody else has hurt quarterbacks that they're playing so far. So they're going to play, as Marcel said, they're going to play that Browns team that, you know, is with the backup. Lamar Jackson's really the only great quarterback that they're going to have for the rest of the season. They have a Tampa Bay squad. They have a Carolina squad. These are all winnable games. But as Marcel again said, it's about that defense. They came in to last night's game in the 28th ranked passing defense. They allowed 10 yards per pass, pretty much 6 yards per rush, pretty much last night. They've got to do better. They made a guy in the second start look like the second coming of Tom Brady, and Josh Allen can only do so much to anchor that defense. They have to figure something out. They're going to win some of these games going for the regular season.
Tim Kalashaw, can these Jaguars survive without Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult. I mean, for those of us who picked the Jaguars to go to the Super Bowl, Tony, last night was supposed to be a coronation, not just for the team, but for us. The team was going to have the number one seed at the end of the night. This was an easy game, a walkover against the Bengals, without Joe Burrow. And as has been explained, their defense was terrible. Now they've lost Trevor Lawrence briefly. They lost Kirk on the first play. Travis Etienne is playing hurt and missed a lot of last night's game. So I think these next two games, we could see Houston tied with them in the standings with a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks to go. It's going to be a fight just to win the South now.
And Bill Plaschke, can this team survive without Trevor Lawrence?
No to the Jacksonville sideline personnel. Can you mix in a cart? Can you make that,
that
quarterback ride on a cart? I was going crazy. It took him 2 hours to get back to the locker room. It was painful watching it. Yeah, I think the Jaguars are going to be okay, actually. Doug Peterson has a history of working well with backup quarterbacks late in the season. Witness Nick Foles, Super Bowl champions. He can figure out with C.J. Beathard. They play the Bucks and the Panthers among the last three games of the season. If he comes back, he misses two games, he comes back, they'll be fine.
Marcel, I saw you making a face when Bill brought up the idea of a cart for Trevor Lawrence. So don't you think? I mean, that's not a bad ask.
It's not a bad ask. I don't know what's more egregious, not having a cart or the water bottle guy costing his team a timeout by running onto the field. Like, that's just critical errors here for Jacksonville that had nothing to do with football itself.
But even if Lawrence were to say, I don't want a cart, he's quite valuable. Why don't you get him a cart? You're in Jacksonville, Florida. There's got to be more golf carts than people per capita. We'll move on. If no Lawrence, Jaguars are in the position that the Bengals are in. And last night, the Jake Browning game, an undrafted backup quarterback coming in their second career start, 32 of 37, 300-plus yards, passing touchdown, rushing touchdown. Cincy now 6-6, which is a game behind the playoff teams. Tim, did last night's win in Jacksonville have you re-believing in Cincinnati?
You mean the team I pronounced dead on the show a couple weeks ago?
Thank you for reminding us.
It seems like maybe they did, but let's hold off on that for sure. We don't know. Who knew that Jake Browning, we were talking at the time, well, they should have had a better backup quarterback. 32 for 37 for 350 yards. I don't know who saw that coming, but Jake did, and the team was fine with it. I thought Zach Taylor was giving the game away early, going for it around midfield, failed, and then the long field goal failed. I thought he's coaching like he's got Joe Burrow, but he was coaching like he believes in that offense, and lo and behold, they scored 34 points and won the game.
Bill Plaschke, you already told us, you cut to the chase, and you told us you believe they're back. What did you see last night for Cincinnati?
I saw the quarterback that I saw in college at UW. 4 years, played in the CFP, played in the Rose Bowl, was tremendous. He's had 5 years to watch and wait and learn. This is arguably the best performance by an undrafted quarterback in NFL history. It's 85% completion percentage is the most for any first or second year starter in NFL history. This guy's the real deal. As long as Tyler Boyd's not playing quarterback, I think they'll be fine.
That was another interesting decision made by Zach Taylor to have wide receivers pass as much as they did. Marcel Louis-Jacques, on what you saw from Cincinnati last night, could they be a playoff team again?
I mean, like I said, if we didn't see shots of Joe Burrow on the sideline, you could have conspiracy theoried me into believing that he was actually playing there in Jake Browning's jersey. I saw a good story, good for Jake Browning. Been watching him ever since he was throwing bombs at Folsom High School just outside of Sacramento.
Everybody's got
hometown.
A relation now. I saw him in college. I saw him in high school.
Hey, we love it. We love a Northern California tie-in, but look, that doesn't matter. You know, they've got Indianapolis, they've got Minnesota in these next couple of weeks. They
right.
can squeak out a couple
Everybody's
wins,
playing backup quarterbacks play. Versus each other, as was said. David, you're going to tell us now you covered Browning and Pee-wee. Please, go ahead.
You know, I never covered Browning, but I watched the last 2 weeks and all this season. Guys, we've done this so many times this season. We did this with Josh Jobs. We did this with Will Levis with the Titans. These guys come out, they have these remarkable games, and then we crown them as, you know, perennial starters before they come down to earth. Remember, he played the Steelers last week and was not good. 2 for 10 on first on third down. Now suddenly he was 8 for 12. 8 for 10 on, air yards of 10 or more for 181 yards. This is a game that is better than what we've seen from Joe Burrow. Sometimes that percentage, that amount of yards, Joe Burrow has never done this. I find it hard to believe that he is going to continue this throughout the rest of the season.
You're saying get a second week of film and see what happens. But again, when it's backup quarterback versus backup quarterback, that's what the NFL is this year. Anything is possible. We've been horned. We'll move on now to basketball, the in-season tournament where anything is possible. We laughed about the idea. We laughed about the courts and point differentials. Let's laugh about the acronym they're trying to push forward here, the IST. But there was real heat in this game last night. Listen to the joint in Indy for this effective game-ending dunk here. Pacers over the Celtics, they advance. And New Orleans over Sacramento in the other game, they advance on to Vegas. David, is the in-season tournament IST working?
Inject this tournament into my veins. Look, I have not seen every basketball game in the history of the NBA, but I guarantee this is the most exciting game we've ever seen from a team that is 11-8 in December. They were acting like it was game seven. This was, you know, playoff level basketball. And for the long-term impact, the way that the Pacers look, that young squad, Halliburton, this was high stakes basketball for them. And this can carry them when they're trying to win actual playoff games, whether it's this year or next. next year. This was an atmosphere that I did not think we would see from this tournament or this early in any NBA season.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think the NBA is on a bit of a roll. 2 years ago, a lot of us initially made fun of the play-in games.
Okay.
But then we saw what that meant during the regular season. Top six is a thing. Then the 7 through 10, play-ins aren't bad. And now a lot of scoffing at, you know, the Celtics fouling to run up the score against the Bulls. They got to figure out how to get rid of that situation with the points. But last night's game was both of them were really good. But the one in Indianapolis, especially Halliburton putting on a show, his dad going crazy. That was fun to watch.
All right. Credit going towards the in-season tournament. Bill Plaschke, what did you see last night?
I've been saying this all along. This is a great tournament. I love watching it. I love the energy. And I love the fact that the Pacers, you see this? You know, it's the first time Halliburton's played on TNT. I've seen the Pacers on national TV. Yet they're the highest scoring team in the league by a long margin. Halliburton, 19 straight points assisted or scored on the start of the third quarter. Dominated the game. Great to see young talent. Great to see a team we haven't seen before. This is working in every – the NBA's got to love it.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, are you unanimous here? You now believe in the in-season tournament?
Hey, look, we make fun of the tournament that we don't understand. We make fun of the acronyms that are a little bit goofy. But this is exactly what the NBA wanted, right? They wanted a playoff kind of atmosphere for a team that's currently sixth in the East and then another one on the other side in the Pelicans that are eighth in the conference. They want to give those guys something to play for, a championship atmosphere. You can't tell me that that crowd in Indianapolis last night didn't treat this like it was the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. This is exactly what the NBA had in mind.
You know who else felt that way? The Pacers play. Players on the bench. If you're a bench player, what do you make? $2 million, $3 million a year? That this is $500,000. That's real. And
life
it's
changing
also
a lot of
proof of sports. Sports is better when you play games and when you don't have people decide in advance who should be playing the games or who should just advance. It's a theme we're working on as we go to buy ourselves next.
Maybe.
Get over yourself.
Around the horn.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
Talked about backup QBs before, now backup to backup QBs. Jets haven't named the starter this upcoming week, but today they released Tim Boyle and signed Brett Rypien. So they're on to other teams' backup QBs now. The report from the Athletics, Rosenblatt and Russini yesterday that they want to go back to Zach Wilson, but Wilson is reluctant to come back and play. Was a question Robert Saleh was asked at the podium. Here he is.
If he was reluctant to play, guys, he wouldn't be here. The young man wants the ball. He wants to start. I appreciate the fact that he wants to play. I'm just not
there
yet.
So still no decision. Bill, how do you view it all?
I view Robert Saleh going on the Michael K radio show saying it was conceivable that Zach Wilson said he didn't want to play. That's enough for me. There's a lot of smoke, so much smoke here that I don't think you can play the kid.
Mm-hmm. Tim Kalisha.
I don't know if that's enough for me. I mean, I want to hear it from him that he really doesn't want to play, that he's afraid of being hurt behind this bad offensive line. He's played before. He hadn't played well. I assume he's going to play this week, and this will be forgotten, although they'll be on to some other story, undoubtedly.
David Dennis Jr.
I don't know if Zach Wilson is reluctant to play. I know I'm reluctant to watch this Jets offense. They've had 8 straight games where they haven't scored more than 1 touchdown. They have 4 touchdowns in their last 88 drives. The problem here is I don't know how much Zach Wilson is going to make a difference. 30.3 QBR is the worst in the league. So whether he plays or does not, this offense is still going to be in the dumpster just like they were when he was out.
And Louis Jacques.
To borrow a term from Walter White, you're familiar with the term leverage, White. Zach Wilson, you have none. You are 4 games away from your XFL career beginning. I'm not doubting the report, but I'm so skeptical of his reasoning why Zach Wilson wouldn't want to play when he needs to audition for a job next year.
We move on. It comes down to business. You're not going to leave Nick Saban out. You're not getting Alabama out of the college football playoffs. You're not getting Georgia out of the college football playoffs. That's how Deion Sanders said it to Newsweek. Yesterday's panel, unanimous, the committee got it wrong, leaving Florida State out. But Tim, you're on the record saying the committee made the right choice. Expound?
Well, I think they did get the right choice given the circumstances, and I think we can have a long discussion about whether every unbeaten team with one schedule is better than a one-loss team with a much tougher schedule. Deion was kind of all over the map, but yes, they're going to bring a team from the SEC. That's who wins. The last 4 championships, 6 of the 9 CFP championships, SEC teams.
David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, Deion's comments were a little strange. He said you don't leave out Georgia, but they left out Georgia, and he talked about it being about business, but cited the fact that Alabama beat the defending champions, which is not about business, it's about their actual resume. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, where he was going with that, but as somebody who has been accused of having irrational defense of his alma mater, Deion Sanders, back up your squad, back up Florida State, stand on business and talk about why they should be in there.
Well, maybe that leads to more credence here, that he didn't support his alma mater. Marcel Louis Jacques, how do you view it?
Look, I think there is no right answer. There rarely is a right answer. The 5th and 6th teams are always going to complain about being left out. And in this case, it's just a harsh life lesson for Florida State that sometimes...
Okay, but the 5th and 6th teams have never been undefeated from a Power 5 conference is what I'm constantly told here. All right.
It's not fair. It's not fair. They did everything right. It's not fair, but the committee, Deion had a point. They're not leaving out a one-loss SEC champion, especially when that champion
beats the number
one team in the country.
They didn't, but they could have. Bill Plaschke to you.
Deion's exactly right. It's all business. If it's good business to have the 4 best teams in the playoffs, they are. It's good business not to have a team, Florida State, that would be a double-digit underdog for 3 of those teams. It's good business to avoid the TCU debacle last year. It's all good business, and it's all right. They made the right choice.
So yesterday's panel was unanimous. Florida State was wrong, and it was a dark day for college football, and college football failed the sport, at least the committee did. This panel is the exact opposite. Am I hearing that, Tim?
Exact opposite. Mm-hmm. They're all right.
You had the wrong panel on yesterday.
David Dennis Jr., I didn't hear from you specifically.
Yeah, I backed the decision to leave Florida State out at this point.
Wow, okay. I'm getting whiplash here with you people. We'll move on. Heisman Trophy finalists. Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. David, buy or sell the finalists there.
I'm going to buy all these finalists here. I want to mention Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that, you know, obviously they're probably going to give this to Daniels or Penix, but I think Marvin Harrison was the best player in college football, especially carrying that team, where he was the only offense for a lot of that season. He's not going to win, but I'm glad he was included.
Marcel Louis-Jacques?
I think the choice is clearly Jaden Daniels here. The most touchdowns responsible for, most passing yards per game. His productivity as a rusher as well. He's one-man offense right there. Nix is out because he lost to Penix twice, and Daniels had a better overall individual season than Michael Penix. Give it to him. I just hope he can bring it by Arizona State's campus.
Plaschke.
Just so we can see the Heisman Trophy.
No, I think the winner is clearly be Michael Penix Jr. 20 straight wins. Quarterback of an undefeated, the only undefeated quarterback in that list, led the nation in passing yards. He's the MVP of college football. Michael Penix Jr. should win the
Tim
award.
Tim Kalish.
Well, I don't think he's clearly anything, and as a longtime Heisman voter, Tony, we're not allowed to say. So I'll just say this: if there's a quarterback out there with 40 passing touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns in the SEC, he's probably got a good chance of getting a voter.
Oh, it happened in the SEC.
He's probably got a chance.
Because it's good business.
Well, since you all believe the college football playoff committee is beyond reproach, and since they told us that Jordan Travis being out changes the whole playoff situation, then why isn't Jordan Travis the Heisman winner for all you people who believe everything that the College Football Playoff Committee says?
Don't you get over yourself. They made the
I
right
swear
choice.
By Boo Corrigan.
Deal with it.
Flash.
Believe in Boo.
Boo Jacques. Showdown next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Viva Vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by K Jewelers. Celebrate every moment with K.
Flasky, Louis Jacques, good luck in showdown. Florida State, undefeated, and wait for it, national champion because they actually play games at a tournament in soccer. 5-1 over previously undefeated Stanford. It's FSU's fourth title, Bill. What impressed you most from their championship?
Tony, I'll say it again, get over it. This is a great soccer team based on just a great soccer team. They've outscored their opponents 21-1 during the tournament. The first undefeated team in 11 years. One of the best soccer teams ever.
Mm-hmm. Marcel?
This was maybe the best matchup on paper. First time ever having two undefeated teams in the championship game. Stanford had allowed one goal or fewer in 36 straight matches. Florida State ruined that within 26 seconds. Go to Knowles.
Incredible information from both of you. Marcel, you're getting 2 points there for the stats at the end there. Jordan Dudley, a force of nature. FSU champion because they play games at a tournament, Plaschke. We'll move on. Shohei Ohtani news. Cubs. How they're reportedly, their interest or their ability to get him is significantly waned, according to Bob Nightingale. So are they out of the sweepstakes? The Blue Jays meeting reportedly complete. That's reportedly because Ohtani's camp had wanted it all quiet. Same too with the Dodgers, Dave Roberts said. They have met with him, and they are now interested still. What does it all mean, Marcel?
Look, Ohtani's camp wants extreme privacy, so that means if we're hearing about it, that team is probably out. If there ever were time to be quiet and not leak, right now.
Wow, Bill Plaschke, how about you?
It means we're getting closer to a decision. He'll make a decision by the end of the week. And, Tony, if you let me win this showdown, I will tell you in my FaceTime what that will be.
I think we all know what you think it'll be. It'll be the Dodgers. But no, you're not getting a FaceTime like that. You got to win the games that are on your schedule. Marcel, FaceTime.
After a couple outstanding sandwiches this weekend in Washington, D.C., I've decided to rank my favorite three in the United States. Number three is the breakfast panini at Noda Brewing in the A-Gates at Charlotte Douglas Airport. Don't sleep on it, but get there early. Number two, I Egg You in Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., like a gourmet grilled cheese with sausage in it. And number one, Egg on a Roll at Remedy House in Buffalo, New York, baby.
What came first, the FaceTime or the egg? Congrats, Marcel.